I'd like to invite you to take out your Bible for a brief look at one very interesting part of the well-known Christmas story there in the book of Luke, chapter 2. And as you take a look at that story that probably many of us have memorized just by hearing it so often, there's a little part in there that I would like to share with you about the innkeeper. I wonder how many sermons have been preached about the innkeeper. I've heard a few myself, and usually in plays and in sermons, the innkeeper is the bad guy. That when poor Joseph and Mary come after their long journey, 95 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, going from the north to the south, and often you'll see a picture of Mary riding on a donkey, and that's supposedly supposed to be better. I'm not sure how many pregnant women would choose to go 95 miles on a donkey. Have you seen a donkey? We had a couple of donkeys when I was growing up. Have you actually taken a close look at a donkey? I wouldn't want to ride. I got on a donkey one time. I wouldn't want to ride on a donkey. It's not like riding on a horse. A donkey has a very sharp spine when you're sitting on the back of that. And without a saddle of some sort, wouldn't be very cool. But here, you know, you see that, but either riding an animal or walking, it was not a journey that I would personally want my pregnant wife to be on. How about you? 95 miles. It was at least a week to get there. If they made 15 miles a day, which would be a pretty hard pace for a pregnant lady, but if they did that, then you've got at least a week to get there, to travel, because Caesar Augustus had called for a census and also taxes. Very interesting part of that story in God's timing. I never thought of taxes as being part of God's timing. Have you? But, you know, God can use anything. And so here they are making their way to Bethlehem where the Savior was to be born because a heathen emperor decided that he needed to have a census. And so God works in, how's that go? Mysterious ways. So they're on their way, and they get closer. Now, you know, I can remember all three times that my wife went into labor, and it was a time for prayer. No amens on that? It was a time for prayer. And our youngest had the hardest time deciding that he wanted to be a part of this world. And so we were praying and praying and walking and walking. So if you're Joseph, and those people weren't ignorant, your wife is pregnant, she's at the end of her 9-month term, and you're going to go on a 95-mile walk, I wonder what's going to happen, right? And so they had to be praying all the way that they're on this walk. Lord, help us to get to Bethlehem before the baby is born. Please don't let the baby be born in the middle of nowhere. You know? So they're on their way. Probably they took all the precautions they could, extra, you know, cloth, and that's kind of indicated because Mary had some extra cloth to wrap up the baby when the baby was born. So they had to go prepared. So they're on this long journey, and they finally, they must have been so happy when they knew they were getting closer to Bethlehem and she hadn't given birth yet. So they were just hoping they could find a place. So according to Desire of Ages, Bethlehem was sort of a walled-up, smaller city with a gate on both ends going east. The street ran east to west. And so they're coming from the west, it says, and in Desire of Ages it says they made their way in the city. Apparently they came in from the west, and they're traveling kind of east through the city, through a narrow street, it says in Desire of Ages. And they're looking, but wow, everybody that had anything to do with Bethlehem and their ancestry, they're all there at the same time, and they're all trying to find a place. It's interesting how we take our modern Western experience and sort of force it onto the text, because we think, when we say no room at the inn, we're thinking, you know, something like the Hilton, or maybe, you know, something like Motel 6 at least, right? You know, something like that. We're thinking no room. So we're thinking individual rooms. The word in Greek is the word kataluma. And kataluma means guest room. It's the same word that is used later in the book of Luke and also in a couple of other gospels when Jesus is looking for a room to have the Last Supper. So the word means a private guest room kind of place. Well, that makes sense, because if you're Joseph and you love Mary and you respect this process of childbirth and the privacy of your wife, you're looking for a place that's not exposed, where there can be that privacy that he wants his wife to have. But there's no place like that in Bethlehem that's available. So the innkeeper really isn't going, "Oh, I don't have a room in my inn for the likes of you." He's not the bad guy here. But he does have a building. Now, I know that archaeologists say that probably the stable was one of the caves around Bethlehem. But again, in Desire of Ages, it says it was a crude kind of older building. And so the innkeeper is, I see the innkeeper like this, now that I've studied it over the years. I see the innkeeper as going, "Where am I going to find a place for this woman to have this baby? She can't come into my establishment," because in those days, nobody had a private room. If you wanted a place to lay down and sleep in a building, you were with a whole bunch. It was like a big open dormitory. You would go in there and you would roll out your little bed and you would lay there with everybody else that was in that space. And he's thinking, "I don't have a cataluma. I don't have a guest room. What am I going to do?" And so he's thinking about this situation and he goes, "You know what? If I were in this situation, I would want my wife to have privacy. I would want her to be able to have her baby without a lot of interference." So he goes, "You know what, Joseph? Come and take a look." So they take him out to this little building, and here is all this hay. And sure, it might not have been the nicest in some respects, but it was private. And there was a door, and they could shut the door. And if Mary had difficulty with the bearing of the child, it wouldn't be a big embarrassment. And so they go, "This is a good plan." And so the baby is born in, Jesus is born in the stable and placed in the manger. And Luke's saying, because there was no guest room at the inn, he's not saying because everybody was mean and awful. He's just making a statement. There was no appropriate place in the other building for Mary to have this baby. And so I thought about the innkeeper, and I thought about my wife and my children, my marriage and our family, your marriages and your families. So what did the innkeeper do? He said, "You know what? I need to go the extra mile here. I need to do what I can to make sure that this family is well cared for and that this baby that's going to be born has some semblance of respect and decency." And you know what? What kind of situation would it have been if all the shepherds had shown up in the building and tried to do their thing there, you know? So, and of course, the wise men came 2 years later. They didn't come at the time of Jesus' birth. If you read Matthew, Jesus was almost 2 years old, and they went to a house where they were living at that time. So it was just the shepherds that showed up. But imagine all those shepherds showing up. And I don't know, when I look at the whole thing, I see the innkeeper as a person that God used in an emergency to provide what was needed at that moment in the best way that he could. And as a father, isn't that what I want to do for my children, is be there in an emergency and do the best I can to take care of them? And don't I want to put my wife's needs first, and a wife, don't you want to put your husband's need first and think about the respect and the privacy that they need for their life? The golden rule: do to others as you would have them do. So I thought about the innkeeper, and I thought about our relationships with the people around us in our life, and I thought, Lord, in my prayer, I said, "Lord, help me to be as kind as the innkeeper, to go the second mile, to do what I can do, and do whatever arrangements I can make, whatever they may be, to take care of the people in my life. In short, to be like Jesus, to put others before myself." And isn't that really what Christmas is all about? Do you know this song? Christmas is a time, Christmas is a time, Christmas is a time to love. Christmas is a time, Christmas is a time, Christmas is a time to love. Okay, that's how the chorus goes. So let's see if we can all sing that now. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time to love. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time to love. We often start to worry and people get upset if things don't go all right on Christmas Day. What we should remember in all the push and shove is Christmas is a time to love. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time to love. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time to love. Maybe things don't sound right or look the way they should, and maybe they're not perfectly in tune. It really doesn't matter. Let's keep our eyes above, 'cause Christmas is a time to love. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time to love. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time. Christmas is a time to love. Lord, help us to follow the good example of the innkeeper.